Vision Sunday coming up soon. That voice on there that you heard a little bit was Walt, and that is he was one of the ones that cut down the original trees on this property back before there was an airport road out there. So that was him there with the chainsaw again, and it's just so exciting to see us entering into another season and the life that is still here and what we have to look forward to. So thank you guys for being here. My name is Sonia. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and right now we are live streaming for CBS onto our online community and into correctional facilities across the state and the nation. So can we give a round of applause of those listening online? Yes, we're so glad that you are joining us today. And so today we are going to be jumping into part four of our core attitude series. We've been going through them. We have our values on the wall here. We're a Bible church, a spirit-empowered church, a family church, church for our city, church for Alaska, a global church, and an equipping church. But we also have core attitudes that we wanted to really go through, because as we enter into a new season, we want to make sure that everyone here knows who we are at True North, because it's not just us that is True North, it's all of us that is True North. And so we have some core attitudes that we teach, we learn about when we're in Grow Track, which I know we've talked about in some past weeks. But one of them is that we will do anything short of sin to reach those that are far from Jesus. And that's one thing, we won't sin, but we will do anything short of sin to reach those that nobody is reaching with the Word of God. And the other one is that we are faith-filled, bet-the-farm risk takers. There's nothing too big that we will not go and do, which is why we have a Vision Sunday coming up, so we can talk about some of the big, exciting things that are coming and that are happening. And another one that we talked about last week was that we will lead the way in irrational generosity, because we truly believe that it is better to give than to receive, that you cannot outgive God, right? We cannot outgive what he wants to do in our lives and through us as we impact our city, our state, and beyond. And so those are a few of the core attitudes that we've already discussed. Well, tonight we are going to go into part four, and tonight is that we do not desire to be a mega church. We want to be a church with a large amount of micro churches. So we don't desire to just be a big, big church. We don't want to be a mega church, although we are building a big building, right? We're getting ready to go into that. But it's not about just building a building. It's about building big people, right? About growing people that will then go and start a large amount of micro churches. And what we call micro churches are our life groups. That's our life groups, our care groups, our small groups of people that gather together and do life together and minister to each other. Groups with a mega vision. Everyone working in one accord toward one purpose, fulfilling what God has designed and put on the heart here at True North. And so that's what we're talking about today. You know, here at True North, we have a saying, and that is that life groups are the home plate of True North Church. And it's not just something we say, it's something that we really believe. Because we don't believe that we can just keep growing in numbers. We have to grow in people, right? We have to grow big people. And so we do that by life groups. When people get together in groups, gathering together, learning together, going through scriptures together, praying with one another, that is where true growth happens. Sharing testimonies with one another, having accountability, all of those things. We believe at True North that we learn in rows. That's what we're doing right now here in church. We come together so we can study the Word of God, so we can learn what the Bible has to say, so we can have community, we can worship, we can do all those things together. But we grow in circles. We grow in the context of life groups and care groups. I love that we have groups that meet across this city, all the way out into the, you know, over on Isleson and over at Wainwright and just all over the place, out to North Pole, out in Haystack. We've had groups meet out there. There's all sorts of places where we have groups that meet. And it is such a beautiful thing to see people gathering together. And so, you know, when I got saved, it wasn't like all of a sudden just magically became part of a beautiful community and life was just easy peasy. It's, you know, it's a progression. And one of the first things after my husband and I got saved was we became part of a life group. back then we called them cell groups. We became part of a cell group. And when we started, that was one of the first steps that we took, was we knew we needed to find community. We needed to find people that were like-minded, that were working toward one vision, one goal, and we needed to get ourselves surrounded. And some of my best memories of starting out in my Christian walk and those things are things like changing my kids' diapers on the floor of someone's living room as we're discussing the word, and nobody's judging the crying baby that's sitting there because we're just being real and doing life together, right? It's about people sharing their testimonies and being encouraged by one another. That's life groups. That's what happens when people get together and grow together. There's a difference between going to church and going to the movies or going to a game, right? We don't come to church to be entertained. That should not be the purpose of coming to church, to be entertained or to see what we can get out of it, to see how good that service is going to be. You know, we have to change that mindset of going to get something from a church service, because that's not what it's about. That's called being a spiritual consumer. And we here at True North, we believe that we are made to be spiritual contributors. We want to contribute to what God is doing in the kingdom of God. We want to be a contributor, which means giving, growing, learning together, working toward one accord, reaching the world and each other. And this means coming to church not to see what we can get, but to see what God wants to do in us, and then what he wants to do through us. Not what we can get out of it. We have to stop just going to church. There's a mindset that has to take place to where we know we're coming to church because God wants to do something through us while we are there. And I love that. I love coming to church and seeing all the serve teams gather around and just the excitement of people knowing they're going to come into church, not to see what they can get, but to see who they get to interact with. Whose hand do they get to shake? Who do I get to make a coffee for today? Who's coming in with a God story and a story of transformation? Ooh, who did I just get to have a life group with? And then I get to interact with on a Sunday or Wednesday. But it's not just going to church, because God didn't create us to go to a building. That was never meant to be our highest achievement. Our highest calling isn't to go to a destination. Our highest calling is to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's what he's calling us to. That's who he wants us to be. Not to go to church, but to be planted in a church, to be planted in the house of God, to be the church, to be a light shining out into the community. That's what we're all called to do. That's the calling. And so maybe you've been coming and you're like, that's good, but you know, I go to church, but there's just something missing. You know, I go on Sundays, I go on Wednesdays, I go and I listen, I worship. Sometimes I even raise my hands, but you know, life still isn't just taking me where I wanted life to go, where I thought it was going to be headed. And I just feel disconnected. I feel discontented. There's just something missing. And maybe that's because you've been coming to church, but you haven't taken time to get planted in a church. And there's a difference between going to church and being planted in a church. It's time instead to really be intentional about being planted in the house of God. And we get that language from Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Now, what does that word flourish even mean? It's not a word that we use very often anymore, to flourish. I mean, I could look at it and be like, ooh, you look like you're flourishing. You know, that sounds kind of funny, right? Doesn't sound, I got some head shaking. Like, no, that does not sound good. Like, what are you trying to say? Am I growing wider? What does that even mean? I don't know how I would take that. But what that word actually means, it's a huge compliment to be flourishing, to be thriving, to be growing, to be prospering, to be a blessing, to be flourishing. And that's what the Word of God says that we're supposed to be. To be flourishing is to have spiritual growth. That's what God says the righteous should be doing. Literally, when you are righteous and you are planted, then you are thriving, then you are prospering, then you are being a blessing. And the psalmist used these things to describe flourishing. He says, they will be like a palm tree, and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. So why did he use a palm tree? A palm, the palm branch, is actually a symbol of triumph and victory. In this time that this was written, the Corinthian Olympics, someone would actually, when they would win the games, Olympic games, they would be presented with the palm branch. That was their gold medal. They would be presented as with this as their sign of victory, as their sign of you just got the gold medal. It was a sign of being victorious, right? So this is saying that we are supposed to be flourishing, triumphant. We are victorious. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey, what was waved around during what we call the triumphal entry, right? Here comes the king. It was palm branches. Because they were honoring him as being the victorious one, as being the righteous one. It was the palm branch, and we are supposed to flourish like the palm tree. We are supposed to grow like the cedars. Now, I love cedars. Just saying the word makes me smile because I grew up in Kodiak Island, and there's cedar logs that would roll up on the island, and we would get those cedar logs, and we would have the most amazing bonfire with these, and the smell of cedar just, like, makes me happy. I burn cedar-smelling candles in my home. That's how much of a nerd I am about the smell of it. I love it. It smells amazing. We had these things called banyas, and you'd always build a banya out of cedar wood with benches in it, and then you have a fire in it, and it, you sweat a lot, and that's what you did, and it was just like the best thing ever because cedar smells good. But cedar wood is actually, the trees were known for their durability. They were known for being pleasant to look at. What are the most beautiful boughs that you could get during Christmas time to put around your houses? Those are cedars that people put parts of them around because they're aromatic and they're beautiful, things that you adorn with. They're known for being strong. Solomon even used cedar to build the beams in his building because he wanted it to last, because it was the best. That's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to grow like the cedars of Lebanon. It's designed to last for centuries. You know, people used to give cedar chests as an heirloom that you would pass down from generation to generation. That's what you'd put your blankets in or things you wanted to keep nice. Because it's something, cedar is something that we're supposed to grow like a cedar, something that can last, that a foundation can be built on, that a heritage can be built from generation to generation. That's why we are compared to be flourishing and growing like a cedar that is durable, that is strong, that is lasting from generation to generation. So here we are. The scripture says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. So here we are gathered as the righteous, right, in Christ. And so if we are flourishing, if someone was to say, according to scripture, according to this scripture, how are you doing? Well, according to this scripture, our response should be, you know what? I am flourishing. I am doing good. I am blessed. I am growing. I have been planted in the house of the Lord. I am doing really well. How am I doing? I'm blessed. I'm stable. I'm strong, right? And here's the thing. Both of these things, the palm tree and the cedar, both of these trees that have been mentioned, they are actually both evergreens. And if you know about evergreens, it means that an evergreen is something that remains green, remains fruit-bearing, remains strong, remains vibrant, has life in it all year long, no matter the season, whether it's winter, whether it's spring, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, these trees remain evergreen because they are tapped into a source. They are trees that do not, what they look like and what they produce does not depend on what is going on in the climate around them. That's what we're called to be. So how are you doing? Are you flourishing like the righteous in the word here? I'm blessed, I'm prospering, I'm doing good. The righteous will do what? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Not those who go to church, but those who are planted in the house and the courts of our God. They will still bear fruits in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock." That's what we're called to be. That's who we're called to be. And you know, when we do that, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, we should be growing. We should be doing those things. But how do we do that? It's by being connected. It's by being connected to one another, knowing, you know what, you're rejoicing over here. I have someone I can rejoice with. You need prayer over here. I have someone I can pray with. What's going on over here? Being connected, and we are able to do that by gathering in groups, by getting together, by relating with one another. These trees are connected. They are bearing fruit. They are rejoicing. They're emotionally engaged. They're making a difference, and they are flourishing. We're called to be those kinds of trees, right? That's who we're called to be in Christ. Now, if we're being real and honest here, as the righteous gathered together, if we were to really sit down and ask, not everyone would use the language flourishing, right? That would not be everyone's answer in the moment if we were really being honest with one another. Some might use other language like, you know what, I am spiritually dry right now, right? While some might say, I'm doing good, I'm emotionally thriving. Others might say, I am emotionally drained. And while some might say, I'm connected relationally, some might say, I am emotionally empty. And while some might say, you know what, I'm doing good, I'm comfortable financially, some would say, I am stretched and it hurts. And while some might say, I am fulfilled spiritually, I'm full of joy, I'm making a difference in those around me, I see an impact that I'm leaving, others might say, I'm searching, I'm unsure of my place, and there is a void that just doesn't seem to be getting filled. And that's the truth. That's really, if we were to go around and ask questions, there would be that range of a variety of answers. Because not everybody has made the choice to truly get planted in and truly release and to give it all to what God has for them in the house of the Lord, to truly get planted, to let roots go in deep. I go to church, I worship, I believe, but I'm just not flourishing, right? I'm not there. Those who are planted flourish. When we're not planted, it's so easy to speak out of isolation, to speak out of hurt, to speak out of frustration, to speak out of those things. But we need to recognize that in our life, in my life, in your life is a seed. And so what does that mean? What does it mean if your life is a seed? What is the purpose of a seed? A seed is something that has tremendous potential to produce something, right? Each one of us is a life that has tremendous potential to produce whatever it is that God has called us to produce. It has the potential to grow, to thrive, to be a blessing to others. But what does it need to be all of those things? A seed on its own is just a seed. A seed needs to be planted in order to do all of those things, right? A seed needs to be planted. If it's not planted, and then it's just dormant, it's unproductive. It does not give life. It does not fulfill its purpose. Your life is a seed, and a seed can only grow if it's planted. That is the truth. And those who flourish, those are who is planted in the house of the Lord. You know, in the Bible, Jesus tells a powerful story. It's called a parable in Matthew 13. And he talks about a sower. It's a planter who's going out to plant seed. They own fields and they're going out and they're going to scatter some seeds around. And some of you have done gardening this year, and hopefully you waited until after June 1st because of that late frost. Everyone always says, don't plant before June 1st. And this year we found out why. But some of you know, you're gardeners. We get tomatoes sometimes and different people that give it. But when you plant seeds, you know, there's certain things that you have to do and certain ways to do it. Well, this is a story about a planter who went out to plant seed. And he went out and he threw seeds out, and some of it got planted out on a path, right? But it was hard soil. He threw the seeds out, and because it was hard soil, those seeds could never take root. They never landed on fertile ground. And so they never were able to fulfill the potential that they were created for. Other seed fell on shallow soil. It was deep enough for it to get in and to start to grow roots, but because it was shallow soil, the roots could never grow deep. So even though it started to sprout up, when the sun and the heat started to bear down on it, that little plant couldn't take it because its roots didn't go deep enough, and so it withered up and it died. And this parable says that others landed on good soil, but then because of what was around it, that there were weeds that started to overtake it. And those weeds came along and choked out these little emerging plants. Jesus says that these weeds are like the cares and the concerns of the world. This is a parable about people, about how all people have potential. But where are these people planted? What is going on around these people? What are the elements that these people are in? Some start to grow, but because they are not planted, they fade away. They never even begin to fulfill the purpose that God had for them. Because they were not planted in the right place, they start to grow, but because of the cares and the concerns of what's going on around them, maybe it's hurts, maybe it's bills, maybe it's dissatisfaction, whatever it is, stress of life starts to choke out the potential of what God had for them. But Jesus says, a seed that falls on good soil, that seed multiplies. That seed can multiply an innumerable amount. It could be 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. That seed can just keep producing and producing if it is in the right soil, if it's planted in the right place. So who is it that flourishes? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. But a seed cannot produce if it is not planted. And the second thing that a seed needs is, if your life is a seed, is going to church isn't the same as being planted. Going to church is not the same as being planted. Just showing up is not the same as being planted in a community. There's a difference between it. When you aren't planted, you might go, if you're not truly planted on a Sunday, you might go, you know, tomorrow's Sunday, but you know what, there was that other thing I really wanted to do, so, you know, we can hit church next month. Right? Like it's not the top of your priority. When you are planted in somewhere, you know that, oh, tomorrow's Sunday. That means I get to go and see so-and-so. I get to go get that coffee from the cafe. I get to go do my thing. I know that if I don't go, then I'm going to miss out on seeing people. And not just am I going to miss out on seeing people, but there's going to be people that are missing seeing me. That's what it means to be planted. When you have people that you are connected with, when you know that you not being there, it's going to impact what's going on. That's being planted somewhere. And it's knowing that you have become so part of something that you have a place that is being impacted because of the purpose that you've been called to, that you are leaving an impact. You don't go to church, you are the church. Each one of us is True North Church. We gather together to be unified. We gather together to honor God. But then we go out because we are the church. We go out and we make a difference in wherever we are called to do. We gather together to be strengthened. We gather together to worship. We gather together to use our gifts to be built up. And then we go into what God has called us for. We need to stop going to church and we need to be the church. We go be the church outside these walls. We talk about that all the time, that we said this before COVID ever happened, and then we got to put it into practice when we closed down for COVID, is that this church is just a building, and that one day we were gonna turn off the lights. Every day we turn off the lights, we lock the doors, and then the church leaves the building and goes out and makes a difference out in the world. And that is the truth. That is who we are. When we are planted, we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. We are giving. We are serving. We are doing what God has called us to do. We realize that we do not exist for the church to give to us, but that we exist for the world. We exist to make an impact out in all of our different areas. That is the difference between going to a building and being part of a calling, being part of a mission, being part of a vision of what God is doing. It's being planted in the house of God. What happens when you are planted? There are two things. One is your roots grow deep. When you are planted, your roots grow deep and you realize that you are the family of God. You realize that church is not a destination that you attend, but it is an identity of who you are. You are the church, and it's an identity that you embrace. That is when your roots grow deep. When it brings you joy to know that you are a part of something. When your roots grow deeper, that means that when the storm comes, when life happens, when things get heated and hard, that you know that you are part of something, that you will be able to withstand it. And because there are other roots around you, that you'll be able to be connected as they hold on to one another. This is the difference between going to a building and and being part of being planted in the house of God. Jeremiah 17:8 says, "They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat nor worried by long months of drought. They are not affected by the elements and what is going on around them." I love that scripture. I mean, how many of you guys could say, yeah, I have some heat going on in my life right now? Yeah, there's some drought that maybe is happening. But you know what? That doesn't affect who I am. That doesn't affect what I'm going to give. That doesn't affect how I'm going to operate, because you know what? I know where my source is. I know where my help comes from. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. So you know what? Yeah, it might be hot outside. There might be some drought, but I know who my provider is. I know who my defender is. I know who I am connected to. I know who God says I am and who I'm called to be, right? I'm not affected by what's going on because I am his and he is mine, and I am a part of what he is doing here, right? That is the truth. So when you know that you are planted in a part of something, then you're able to hold on firmly to the truth of what God is speaking and what God has said. When your roots grow deep, it's not that things don't happen around you. It's not that hard things aren't going to be there. It's that you are not bothered by them. It does not have the power to get it at you. We know the source, and that source is life-giving, and that's what we focus on. We are flourishing despite the circumstances around us. I have a random fact. Here's a random fact. The tallest tree in the world is a coast redwood. It's a sequoia. And this tree has a name. I like the name. This tree has a name. I'm going to say his name because it sounds like a boy name. His name is Hyperion. Hyperion. All right. This is named after a person in Greek mythology. And this tree is 379 feet tall. It's a huge tree. Now, if you guys have ever been to the Redwood Forest, I'm from Monterey, California originally, so I've been to the Sequoia Forest, I've seen the Redwoods. They are huge, massive trees. These trees are huge. But this one tree is especially massive, but all of these Redwoods, they have the potential to grow to be 30 stories high. 30 stories, that's like imaginable almost, right? If you can picture a tree being 30 stories high, can you not picture this? Not just 30 stories high, but 3 stories wide, right? That is like huge, huge. Just think about it, it's big, okay? It's really, really big. How do they get to be that big? It's because their roots grow deep. They could not grow to be that high and that wide if their roots were not growing deep. But here's the really, really cool thing, is their roots don't actually hold them up on their own. I mean, you think about the root structure that would have to be around this tree to hold it up. You would think, man, that each tree would need a really large amount of space, right? No, it doesn't. Because here's the thing, their root systems can grow 100 to 150 feet deep and wide, down and out. That's too much space for one tree, right? So what happens? What happens is that underneath the ground, their roots are actually intertwining with the roots of other trees. So off to the right over here, this tree is wrapping around roots from another tree, and they're holding each other up on this side. And then over here, it's reaching out to the tree on this side, and it's holding it up here. And then out here, they're holding on to what's here and behind them. So when that storm comes, it's not going anywhere because it has a support system that is underground, underground where nobody can see. These trees have a support system that is holding them up top. That's what we need as a body of Christ, to be so connected here and so connected here and so connected here and here, that when that storm starts to come, we know we are going to stand strong. That's what the body of Christ needs to look like. And that's what's found in groups. That's what's found in life groups and in care groups, that we need to know that we need each other. Because if there's one thing that the word says is promised in life is what? Trouble. I heard it. Trouble. There is trouble. There are trials. That's what is promised in life. We know that. So how do we withstand it? We withstand it by reaching out, right? It's promised that we're going to face trials, that there will be struggles, there will be setbacks. You know what? There will be crazy people, let me tell you. And not just crazy people, but crazy situations. I could tell you stories. It happens. And so if you want to be prepared to withstand that, you have to be connected. you have to know that you are not alone, because when you are alone, you are vulnerable. When you are alone and you don't have anyone to pray with you, anyone to laugh with you, anyone to rejoice with you and encourage you, that's when the enemy gets in your head. Because if there's one person that wants you isolated and alone, that's the devil. That's your greatest enemy, and that's all he wants. Where can I find them? Isolated and alone. The word of God says two is better than one, and a three-strand cord is not easily broken. We need to stay connected together, and that is done through groups. That's care groups. That's life groups. That is what God has intended for us as the body of Christ. There's something beautiful about getting together and sharing testimonies. There's something beautiful about getting together and reading the Word of God and hearing someone else's interpretation of what God has brought them through by using this Word and studying. If you want to be someone who is planted, you get connected to those around you. Alone, we are vulnerable. We saw that. We saw that during COVID. If COVID revealed nothing else, it's that being isolated affects your mental, emotional, spiritual state more than anything else, right? Rates of suicide went up, all sorts of things. We need each other. And as a body of Christ, we especially need each other to encourage one another. It is vital to be connected to our pocket of people. That's what we like to call it, your pocket of people. They are your ones. I look around and I see so many people that have been in my pocket of people over the years in different life groups, in different areas, leading care groups together. And that's what God has called us to be. That's who God has called us to be. And the second thing that happens, I did two fingers. I was only supposed to do one. There we go. Second thing that happens is that your roots produce fruit. Your roots produce fruit. Jeremiah 17:8 says, "You're with roots that reach deep into the water, such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." When you are planted, you produce fruit, right? Now that's not the kind of fruit that you might eat for breakfast, right? When we are connected to the spiritual vine of God, we produce spiritual fruit. That's not like the kids' song. That's like, what is it? It's not fruit of the God, Lord, it's not a coconut, right? It's not a grape, it's not a cherry, it's not any of those things. It is spiritual fruit. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians, he lists out what the fruits are, right? That's love, that's peace, joy, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, kindness. All of those things are fruits of the Spirit, and that's only produced by being connected to the spiritual vine. Those are not our natural fruits, right? Those are not things that come out of us naturally. None of us naturally would have those things be our first reaction. I mean, yeah, you're sweet. Maybe not that sweet, right? Like, when your natural inclinations aren't going to be all of those good things all of the time. That's the kind of things that are produced by being connected to the spiritual vine. When we are planted, even through difficult seasons, love can still grow out. Even when the heat starts coming down, joy can still overflow. Even when they feel like we're going through waters and we're being overwhelmed, joy can still pour out. Peace can still be the aroma that we share in a situation. We consider it pure joy when we face trials and situations, because love can still come out when we are connected to the body. We are connected to the source, the true source of who God is, when we are surrounded and connected and rooted. And the best part of all of this is when you realize that all of those fruits of the spirits, that those are not just for you. Those aren't just for you, just to make you happy and live a good, happy life where you're like, ooh, I got all the fruits that I could want today. No, the best part is that when you realize that those fruits, those are for those around you. Those are for when you come into contact with others. They don't get your natural reaction. They get the joy of the Lord spilling out of you and onto them. When you get around other people, it's the joy that is contagious that will pour out into people. It's the peace that is attractive that will draw other believers in. It is the faithfulness and the integrity that will build trust and relationships that will make people want to be a part of the body. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is for other people, that God wants us to share with those around us. And that's part of being the body. That's part of being connected to each other, is that when one person is lacking, we can just spill it on over to them, right? Let's share some grapes, right? That's what it is. That's the fruit of the Spirit. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's sharing the goodness of God with one another. One of my favorite things about life groups or care groups, we do it every time. The first week of groups, we go around and we sit in a circle and we say, let's just, as we get to know each other, let's just take a minute and we're gonna share testimonies. We're gonna share, why don't you share how you got saved or how you started coming to True North Church? And as every single person goes around and starts to share their testimony of what God did in their life, what God saved them out of, how God rescued them from this, how God revealed himself to them, their story of salvation, there's not a dry eye in the house, because other people's faith is being built up off of their testimonies. That's what happens when you get together, as iron sharpens iron. We get to share testimonies and experiences with one another. And that's the goodness of God. We build up other people's hope, faith, trust, and belief. That's when we become family, and that's how we become bonded. We are not saved from our sins. We are saved for the glory of God to make a difference in the world. It is a privilege to do life with a pocket of people. And what does a seed need to grow and to flourish? What does a seed need to grow and to flourish? It needs, if you're a gardener, you know these five simple things that it needs. It takes soil. It takes good soil. It takes your heart. Your heart has to be ready to receive what God is doing. How is the seed planted? It takes your heart being ready, prepared to receive what God is doing, where God wants to plant you, what God is doing around you. It takes light. The word says that the word of God is a light, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's light. And it takes water. It takes water. Jesus is the living water who cleanses and renews our soul. It takes temperature. It has to be the right temperature. It has to be the right setting. It takes the Holy Spirit leading and speaking to warm the seed that has been planted, to take them down where he wants to take us. And lastly, it takes time. We all want things to happen like this for us in whatever season we're in. But you know what? It takes time. Those great cedars of Lebanon, those great palm trees, they didn't just grow overnight. In front of my house, I have this huge, huge birch tree. It's got its trunk is all kind of wrapped around each other. That tree was planted in 1956. Now, in 2021, my kids get to lay on its branches. They get to climb all the way up. They get to play on it. But it took nearly 70 years to be able to support what is happening on it now. So when's the best time to get planted? The time is now, because it takes time getting planted. It takes time to build that root structure. It takes time to do and to see where God wants to lead you. So start now. Don't waste another day. Growth doesn't happen overnight without intentionality. And unless you're a weed, it takes purpose. It takes being fed, it takes being watered. It takes time to grow. So I want to encourage you, if you have not taken time to sign up for a life group, take time to do that. Grab one of these pamphlets out there. If you haven't taken time to join a serve team, do that. Find a community of people. Get planted here, because that's where you'll find joy. That's where you'll find support. That's how you'll find community. There's care groups happening upstairs, and these people come in so happy every time. They are so full of joy when they walk in, because they know they are part of a community. And that's the beauty of what God is doing. So get planted. And if you're here tonight, we always, every time we gather together, we are intentional on making an opportunity, making room, making space. That if you have not prayed the prayer of salvation, we want to have opportunity for that. We say it's as easy as ABC. It's as easy as admitting, as believing, and as confessing. I admit that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross, rose again for me, conquered death. And I confess that I need him to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. ABC. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer and you want to be planted, you want to change the trajectory of the rest of your life, now's the time for that. This is the opportunity. So with every head bowed, we're going to pray this prayer together. Father God, I thank you. I admit that I have sinned. I admit there are things in my life that I want to release to you. I admit that I have not made right decisions. But God, I believe that you sent Jesus, your son, to earth to die on a cross for me so I might be healed, so I could be set free. But he didn't stay dead. I believe that he rose again, that he conquered sin, hell, and the grave, and that he is alive today, and that he has made a place for me in heaven. I confess I need him to be the Savior and the leader of my life. Come now and be my life leader. I thank you, God, that you are able. You're able to break every chain. You're able to make the changes that I need. I release to you my future and my destiny. In your name, amen.